Good. Hey, let's pray together. Father, Brother Mike said that we don't pay you. I would hate to see what you would charge for running the whole universe. I know what CEOs get just running companies. Lord, there isn't anything that we can give you that you need. Whatever we do give you, you use it to bless us. Lord, you return it. You multiply it. Whether it's our time, whether it's our talent, whether it's our tithe. Nothing is ever lost on you. Nothing that we ever invest in you will not come back to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over. We may not see it immediately, but Lord, I've been at this so long, I've always seen it ultimately. Lord, that you've always, always given way more than anything that we could do. Our giving, whatever it is, an encouraging word, a smile, is just an investment in your kingdom. So Lord, I pray, take this time. People have taken time out of their schedule to be here tonight. Lord, if they were like me, they were blessed unto their souls when we began to sing about your glory and your word. Lord, I felt a chain slip from my heart tonight as we sang No Chains on Me. There was something trying to tighten itself around a certain area, and it fell down. So singing, Lord, just isn't an expression of our joy. It's a prophecy of what you want to do. And so, Lord, I thank you for that. I pray that for every person that's here tonight, for every dream that they have, every need that they have, physically, financially, emotionally, relationally, Lord, that you will meet that need, that you would surprise us. You love surprising us. Sarah got so surprised, she laughed when she was told that at an age of 90 years old, she was going to have a baby. But she had one. What a surprise. Lord, I love the fact that you are a father, but you're still a kid. I mean, you do things that are so amazing. We can just look out on the creation and see fields and fields and fields of a particular kind of flower. And I can almost see the joy you got out of making it that you said, again, another one. Then you said, again, and another one. So, Lord, I thank you that you are not all wise, and you are. But, Lord, that you are a lot of fun. Lord, that you are got a lot of joy, that you want us to live life to the full, that you want us to live life and see life the way you see it and from your perspective. No matter what the economy, no matter what's happening in Greece, no matter what's happening in the city of Pittsburgh, from your perspective, everything's going to be all right. Lord, help us to see that tonight in the areas where we need to see it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the third epistle of John. I will mention what we're trying to do. You've heard of speed dating, right? Well, we're going to do speed church. We as leadership team with the elders decided, because of Wednesday night, and we've had some families come, and they would one that continue to come, but some of our services on Wednesday night and they have small children just go a little bit too long. Or I could say I get long-winded, but I'll blame it on Ro. She sings way too many songs, you know, and it keeps it going. No, it's really me. And so we want to respect the fact that people have children and they need to be in school the next day. And so on Wednesday night, we just decided to condense it a little bit and get rid of some of the quantity. Hopefully, well, not hopefully, knowingly, we're not going to get rid of any of the quality. And that we're going to enter into his presence, which I love because it says in the fullness of his presence, there is grace upon grace. When you get there, man, you get what you need. And anytime you're in worship and you get there, don't be ashamed. Tell him what you need. And he'll give you grace for it. But he likes to be asked. It's seen all through Scripture. He likes to be asked. He knows our needs before we even ask him, but he still likes for us to ask him. I know my kids growing up, I knew their needs before they even asked them, but I didn't want them to presume upon me. I wanted them to ask me because I wanted to say yes. You know, but there were times I also wanted to say no. And yes to the things that would bless them and no to the things that they think would bless them but really wouldn't bless them. And so we're going to try to have the service done completely by 8 o'clock. And if anybody wants to linger, by that time we'll have the altar call. And on Wednesday, we've just been coming forward worshiping and praying for loved ones that are either not saved or they're not walking with the Lord like they should. And we've already seen tremendous, tremendous results from that. We have, just since doing it. And do you know why? Because God answers prayers. Derek Prince, who's no longer with us, great man of God, made a statement. He says, God does nothing except in response to prayer. Prayer is so, so, so important. Don't over presume. Always ask. And that scripture that we're so familiar with, ask and it shall be given, the Greek just really means ask and keep on asking and keep on asking until you get it. God likes persistence. He really does. You know, it's kind of like the blind man, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. He's hearing that Jesus is coming out of Jericho, and he cries out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd tells him to shut up. But he cries out all the more, and Jesus turned and answered him. How many of you realize he heard him the first time? He wanted to see how he was going to react to the alienation. Did he really want what he was crying out for? So when the crowd told him to be quiet, now remember, he's a beggar. He doesn't want to alienate the crowd. And they're following a teacher that teaches giving to the poor. So he has to make a decision. You know, this could be one of the greatest days of begging he's ever had in his entire life. Because there was an entourage, they said a multitude were coming out, you know. Or he could get his sight. And when the crowd told him to be quiet, he had to make a choice. Do I want a day's worth of begging, or do I want to be able to see and never have to beg again? And he chose. He chose to risk. And he cried out all the more, the Bible says. And Jesus responded and asked him, what do you want? And he said, I want to see. And God gave him what he wanted. And so we've been in, this is going to be the third and final installment of Walking in Truth. And I am going to do a little review tonight, which will make my wife mad, but I'm not going to call it review, I'm going to call it repetition. Just so we can put in context what I want to say. We've been working on this passage of Scripture. This passage of Scripture is powerful, but it's also controversial. A lot of bless me people go to this and try to get something from it instead of realizing that it wants to give everything that it has to us. The Bible's not magic. It's powerful. If you work it, it works. But you got to work it. And sometimes that inquires work. It requires persistence. So let's read the scripture. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. But I rejoice greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you." And that is important. They testified. There is this group of people. The truth is in them. Is in you just as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. So it says, I pray that you prosper in all things. I mentioned the first week, and I am going to take the time because this word prosperity in the Greek is just really hard to define. And every Greek dictionary or lexicon, it'll give you different translations trying to give you the fullness of it. And so I just want to quickly just give them from four different ones. It means to be on a good path. When God says he wants to prosper, he wants you on a good path. That means a path that leads to good things. But you got to understand, in connection with walking in the truth, it's a path. And so you walk towards good things. I'm a firm believer that our provision, our deliverance, our healing is always in front of us. God will give us a path. We walk not by sight, but by faith towards it, and we get our provision. We get our deliverance. We get our healing. When I heard that I only had a year to live, the Lord moved on me to go to St. Louis at a time where I couldn't even hardly get out of bed. But I went there. I walked. That was the path. God said the path is St. Louis. It's where your prosperity is. And a young kid prayed for me and God healed me, but it was in front of me. I had to. Prosperity is a good path. It means to live under, one translation says to live under the shade or to live always with laughter and song. That means that this somewhere on this path, you're going to start laughing and you're going to start singing. I promise you, on the way home from St. Louis, me and Diane were laughing and singing. The path, it brought us prosperity. Another one says to grant a prosperous and expeditious journey. So again, it implies that it's a journey. You have to move forward. Just can't sit and wait on your miracle or wait on your provision. You gotta keep moving. Someone once said, "Well, how do you get out of the wilderness?" And Bob Mumford said, he gave the answer. He says, "You keep walking." If you keep walking, sooner or later, you'll get out of the wilderness. And it says this journey will lead us by a direct and eventually easy way. So it's both direct and it's easy. Vine simply says to give divine assistance upon one's way. Now this passage says that he rejoiced because the truth was in him. But he always has great joy when they walk in the truth that is in them. There is a difference in what I call inside truth and outside truth. Inside truth guarantees you eternity. Outside truth guarantees you the abundant life, the fullness of life. It guarantees you, I believe not only does God give us the answer to to death by giving us eternal life. He gives us the answer to life by giving us an abundant life. He gives us the answer to our problems by giving us the Holy Spirit that will change us. And then he'll give us the answer, a meaningful or purposeful life. I just recently listened, I was looking at ESPN, and they had, this is back in 2004, they were interviewing Tom Brady, or 2007. And he was making more money than probably any quarterback, two-time Super Bowl winner, two-time MVP, married to a supermodel, and they were interviewing him. And they said, how does it feel to be on top of the world? And he says, I don't feel on top of the world. He says, I know I have a lot of money, and I know I have a lot of accolades, and I have a lot of success, you know. He says, but what I'm haunted with day in and day out is there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more. And the interviewer asked him, said, well, do you know what it is? He says, no, but if someone could please tell me. There's got to be more than this. Because man is too great to be satisfied with stuff. The only thing that will satisfy a great man is a great God. Only he can fill that void to give us that thing where it's, this is it. Everything else is just icing. This is it. And God wants us to prosper in, and I love the fact, all things. He wants us to prosper in our marriage. He wants us to prosper in our finances, in our families, in our livelihoods, all things. But you got to walk in the truth that you know. It's got to move from inside truth to outside truth. When we accepted Jesus, he came into our heart, and he is the truth. He's in us. Called imputed righteousness. That means when God looks at me, he looks at me through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees me as already being perfect, having already arrived at whatever destination my paths are going to lead me to. Remember Psalm 23, he leads us on the path of righteousness. And then it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, meaning that that path of righteousness is going to lead him through some difficulty. But as he goes through the difficulty, God is going to prosper him. He's going to give him some divine system. It says a rod and a staff. And that's going to get him through the valley. And when he gets on the other side of the valley, there's going to be a table prepared before him in the presence of his enemies. I don't know what you think about that, but that would be great. To have all your enemies sitting around accusing you, calling you names, you know, just doing everything to get at you, and you're just sitting there eating, enjoying yourself, man. Say what you want, I'm eating, you're starving. So do whatever you want. And he says, my cup runs over. He's anointed my head with oil. Surely goodness and mercy follows me all the day of my life. That's where the path leads to. That's the provision. And when you go through the difficulty, and I know there's some people in this room that are in some difficulty, you don't have to fear it. And the only reason you don't have to fear it is because he says he's with you. You don't have to fear whatever the difficulty is, because he's with you. And being with you, he's going to use a rod to train you, and he's going to use a staff to guide you. And when you're done, you're going to be in that place of prosperity in all things. But you got to walk in the truth. Walking in the truth is where the Holy Spirit takes what I already am inwardly and begins to work it outwardly. He works it out in the way that I drive in traffic. Anybody need help in that area? I don't anymore. I really don't. My wife tell you, no traffic. I don't have a goat anymore. You could be somebody that'll cut me off, and I'll go beep and wave at you and smile. I mean, I really will. And if you're traffic causes you to get knocked off the room, I'm stopping and helping you. And I'm not going to tell you what an idiot you were for driving that way. Because he's, how many know he already knows he was an idiot because he's on the side of the road and his car's not working? I mean, why state the obvious, right? What he does, he doesn't need someone to come up and tell him. He needs someone to love on him. And that's what we do as Christians. But we walk in the truth. Let's turn to 2 Kings. This is where we were last week. I just want to make a few comments about it. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Because this was a woman who was in dire straits, which a lot of us find ourselves in, if not now, at different times. 2 Kings, the 4th chapter. Starting with verse 1, a certain woman, we're going to read down through verse 7. A certain woman of wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And my creditor is coming to take my two sons to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What should I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels. Do not gather just a few. And when you've come in, you shall shut the door behind you and your sons, and then pour it into all those vessels, and set aside the full ones." So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not another vessel." So the oil ceased. And then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil, pay your debt, and you and your sons live on the rest." This is a woman who is in dire straits. She comes to the man of God. She seeks God. God puts her on a path. He asked her two things. Same things God will ask you every time that you want to come to him, you get into his presence. He's going to ask you two things. He says, number one, what do you want? And you need to be specific. You got to tell him exactly what you want. I want my dad saved. Or I need a job. Or I need some prosperity in my the Lord's going to ask you, what do you want? You can see this throughout Scripture. The blind man that I referred to earlier, I mean, he knew that he was blind, but he still asked him, "What do you want?" He says, "I want to see." God will always ask. And then he asked this, and this is very, very important. He says, "And what do you have?" And that is very, very telling. Because he's letting the person know, and I'm letting you to know, that there is something in your life that God wants to use, no matter how small it might seem to you, no matter how significant it might be, that God wants to use that to get you what you want. She says, "All I have is some oil." And he said, "Well, that's enough." There's a miracle in all of our lives. There is something that we know. There is something we can do. There's something about our personality that has value. There is something in our lives that God wants to use, wants to bless, wants us to pour out, that will get us out of our debt. Whether it's debt to some sin that we're paying a price for, or debt to some idiotic mistakes we made in our marriage, or some debt that we've gotten into because of bad decisions financially, there is something in our lives that God wants to use. He wants us to pour out. But you've got to, people are on the path. He says, "Go get vessels." Now, you got to put yourself in the story. Everybody probably knew her situation. Her husband was dead. The debtor is coming and wants to take her into slaves. She goes to the man of God. The man of God puts her on a path to prosperity. She says, "Go borrow, gather, get all the vessels that you can." And so she went out and did that. How many know that would look kind of stupid? I mean, you got to understand, we've got to be willing to look foolish before we look wise. The Bible says that the foolish things, God will use foolish things to confound the wise. So her and her sons went out and gathered all the vessels they could. And then he said, go in and close the door. And this is where we ended up last week. Because it's very important. So I want you to close the door because there's going to be some people out there that are going to try to defeat you in your faith. There are a lot of times Jesus, when he went to go heal Jairus' daughter from the dead, she was already dead. People said, you know, you don't need to come. And he put them all out. It's what I call faith defeaters. You can't listen to the naysayers. You got to close the door and do what God asked you to do and believe that the God that asked you to do it is going to do something miraculous in the midst of it. When I was telling people on my board in Louisville and other people that I was leaving Louisville, where I was very, very prosperous, and coming up to Pittsburgh to take a small church, which would mean a big cut in resources for me. A lot of them, good, well-meaning people, were telling me that it wasn't God's will. I had to close the door. I had to quit listening to them. I had to do what God told me to do. And history has proven in this past year, God has met us in every way. I'm happier now than I've ever been before in my life. I'm more prosperous now than I've ever been before. My family's more prosperous. I don't have more money than I did, but I believe that's coming down the road. But who cares? We make this declaration, we'll have what we need to have when we need to have it. And I found out in the last year that is exactly true. Yes. Because it seemed stupid. Not only was I going to take a major salary cut, but my parent loans for my two children going through college were coming due last December. So I didn't need to make less money. I needed to make more money. And I had a lot of people. You got to close the door. If you're going to obey God, don't tell everybody what God's doing in your life. Because a lot of people will become faith defeaters. They'll say, that's stupid. That doesn't make sense. So you just need to close the door. Pour out what you have. We get so busy looking for what we don't have that we forget that we do have what we do have, and if we give it away, God will multiply it. Let's turn to Luke 16. I shared a story last week about my daughter, and I'm just going to quickly share it again. She graduated from ITT Tech. She is a computer genius. Before she went there, became even a more computer genius afterwards. Graphic design, couldn't get a job. Nobody would hire her. Me being her father, I said, you need to get you a job. Because she's living at home, eating my food, being warmed by my electricity. She said, well, Dad, I can't get a job. And I said, well, yeah, how many know a job is better than no job at all? One of the things I tell people in prison when I get, I said, man, I can't get by on minimum wage. I said, you can get by better on minimum wage than you can nothing. And I've had a lot of people, I said, man, all I can do is get a job at McDonald's. I said, well, I promise you, if you get a job at McDonald's and you flip hamburgers better than anybody's ever flipped a hamburger before, you won't be working at McDonald's long. What people are looking for is quality. quality creates its own demand. And so I said, Jessica, you got a personality that won't quit. So she went down to the get-go here. We down there, they call them Circle K's, and she got a minimum wage job, you know, in a convenience store as a cashier, and she thrived. I mean, on all the events that they had to do fundraising, she was the best one at it. And there was this one woman that kept coming in that lived nearby and kept watching Jessica and saw her personality and saw that Jessica could sell anything to anybody. Because she'd come in there for a Coke and walk out with milk, bread, and you know, all kind of other stuff she doesn't even need. And next thing you know, she's offering Jessica a job at the towel shop. Jessica goes down there, becomes the top salesperson. Corporate hears her, flies in, talks to her. After not even a year there, corporate calls this past summer, said, we're opening up a new store. We want you in Atlanta the next day. And now she's making more money than she's ever made before. But all she had in her house was her personality. It's the only oil she had, and she poured it out. And she's using her graphic design to help people see what their bathrooms and kitchens would look like with their towel. So you just got to pour out what you have. Luke 16 and verse 10 makes this statement. Just simply, if you're faithful over little, I'll make you ruler over much. It's one of the tenets of my life. The key is being faithful with the little that you have. Get the most out of the little that you have. Do it better than. Let's turn over to Colossians 3. Because I'm almost 8 o'clock and I do want to read a couple things. Colossians 3rd chapter. You've heard me tell this story, and I'll tell it real quick. I got saved one day, got put in prison the next day, went to Sumter. Everybody in Sumter, they go to the pot room for the first month, where you scrub pots from 4 o'clock in the morning till 10 o'clock at night. That's the little that I had. I decided to become the best pot washer that ever washed a pot. Let's read what verse 23, 24, I read this and I took it to heart. This is where you walk in truth. Colossians, let me get there. 3. It says, and whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord, say from the Lord, you will receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Man, and I had to do it in the midst of turmoil because the other guys on my crew, because I worked so hard, made them look lazy. And they are threatening to shank me if I don't slow down. But I got to believe that this God that told me to work as unto him, that part of that reward was he'd preserve my life. And how he did it is within a week, the sergeant says, because he'd been watching me, he said, man, he said, I want you to be a cook. Now, I didn't want to cook anymore, and I wanted to wash pots. But how many of you know that dirtying them is a lot more fun than cleaning them? And then I became the staff cook, and then I became the outside. And within 3 years, I went from the worst job to the best job in Sumter Correctional Institution. It works. If you're faithful over a little, God will make you ruler over much. Do it wholeheartedly as unto the Lord. Whatever you do, God's watching. He'll give you your inheritance. And I never asked for any of those jobs. And then when I got out, I got a job as a tire salesman, decided to become the best tire salesman I'd ever be. Read the manual, knew it in and out, knew every size of the tire. Went out during my lunch break, learned how to align tires, how to balance tires. I mean, how to align a front end, how to balance tires, how to change tires. And within a little bit, some guy had been watching me coming in, and he offered me a job. Never asked for another job. Because it says, let's turn to Proverbs 18:16. This will be our last scripture. Proverbs. Proverbs 18 and verse 16. It says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. Too many Christians, there's too many people that try to make room for their gift. And God says, if you have a gift, if you do it wholeheartedly as unto me, it'll make room for you. It'll create a place for that gift, that it'll bring you before bosses. It'll bring you before great men. You've just got to do it better than anybody else. You've got to be willing. In Proverbs, don't turn there, 27:17 says, this is one man sharpened, as iron sharpens iron, one man sharpens another. You've got to be willing for people to get into relationship and ask them to help sharpen the dull areas of your life. Now, when that happens, it's going to create friction. Anytime you sharpen anything, it's going to create friction. But if you can handle the friction, you can get to the sharpening. Ephesians 4:15 says, speaking the truth in love, you shall grow up. I want to grow up. But in order to be able to do that, I got a lot of people to speak the truth to me. Now, truth in its initial stage always hurts, but it always helps. If you can handle the hurt of the truth, you can get to the help of the truth. And the last scripture, you can look at it your own. It's just Ecclesiastes 10:10. He says, if the axe is dull, it won't chop, it won't do very much work, and you have to work really hard. I want to conclude with this. You got to sharpen your axe each and every day. Whatever it is that you do, don't rest on your leads. I've been in ministry now since 1980, and I'm constantly sharpening my axe. I'm constantly reading the books that I should be reading. I'm constantly going to the people and asking them to look over my area. When Pastor Terry was here, I said, Terry, I want you to, while you're here, I want you to look for the holes in my bucket where my leadership is concerned. And on Sunday night, we'll go over that. And some of the things that he told me was very, very hard for me to hear. But I needed it. You got to sharpen your axe. You've got to continually be in a place of training. The Bible, I'm a firm believer that the heart of a student will produce a tongue of a teacher. So you've got to always be learning. And if you're learning and you're faithful over the little that you have, you do it better than anybody's ever done it before, you're not going to be doing it long. God's going to make you ruler over much. But if you've not been faithful over the little, he's not going to give you the much. Now remember, prosperity in all things, it's a path. You walk towards it. Let's stand together. 801. Amen. Church, I just really want to encourage you. Everything that you want and need is already in your life. God already designed you. He was in your mother's womb. He wove you together. He's been with you from the moment you said yes to him. He's been developing some qualities in your life that you may not even consider as qualities in your life. You take it for granted because this is the way you've always been, not knowing that God, that's the oil that God wants you to pour out. And when you pour it out, The oil keeps pouring. It doesn't stop until there's more than enough. Until you not only get what you need, you can live on the rest. But the key is, what little do I have? Some of you are in a job and you do great in your job, but there's also something in you that God wants to use. If you're faithful over it. One of the best ways to do it is to meet with, I'm a big proponent of, and you don't tell your, talk to everybody, you find a brother, man, and you say, hey, man, help me with the holes in my bucket. I'm dull in certain areas, and I want to be sharp. What can I do about it? How can I fill this hole in this bucket? And it's hard to hear. But then you just start sharpening your axe. Because with a sharp axe, with a blow anointed by the Holy Spirit, will fall a big oak, just one blow. It's a combination of His power and your due diligence to sharpen your axe. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, I pray. We want to be a people that just don't have the truth in us. We want to walk in that truth. You said, Lord, in Psalm 23, that you are a shepherd, we shall not lack. You make us lie down in green pastures, by still waters. You lead us in the paths of righteousness for our namesakes. And that path, Lord, leads to all the provision, all the healing. So I pray tonight, Lord, you would help us as a people to know what's in our house that can help us get what we want. Lord, help us to see it. Help us put our feet to it. Lord, let us close the door on all of the faith defeaters. And let us keep walking, Lord, until we are our heads anointed with oil, our cups overflowing. Father, we pray for all of that in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how we're going to close the service is what we've been doing the last several Wednesday nights. I've invited those people forward to want to pray for a loved one that's either not saved or one who is not walking with the Lord the way that they should. It could be a son, a daughter, it could be an aunt, an uncle, it could be a brother, sister, it could be a mom or a dad. And we want to pray that God will draw, only Jesus can draw people to the Father. And we want to pray that Jesus will do that. And I've been seeing it happening, and I want us to continue to do that. And we're going to be persistent. We're going to ask and keep on asking. Until everyone, and when there's people in this room right now, you're thinking of somebody's name, until that person's faith outshines yours. That's what we're after. That they'll take the ball and they'll move it way further than we've ever moved it. That their exploits will be greater than our exploits. So that's what we're praying for. So as we sing this last song, the last one that we sang, the one about being radiant and having no fear. So if you want to come and you want to just spend some time while we're worshiping, pray out loud, pray in tongues. But let's come on up here, let's cry out. And while you're crying out, the Lord may show you something that's in your house, in your life. It could be the very thing that will bring that person into the kingdom. Some outing he wanted to do, some promise that you made to him when he was 12 years old and you never kept. But something God will show you, there's something in your life that he can use to bring this about. So as we sing and then rest, You are more than welcome to be dismissed. We're just going to spend a time of prayer and just seeking God and asking Him to do the impossible, what we can't do. Amen? Well, let's pray together.